The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
World conditions are now racing rapidly toward the final war, Armageddon. For the first time, the weapons of mass destruction now exist that can blast all humanity, every man, woman, and child, including your life and mine, out of existence on this earth. And every weapon that has ever been produced in this world has been used. And Bible prophecy says that the nuclear weapons will be used and whole cities will be destroyed. Unless God intervened to stop it, no human being would be saved alive on earth. But God will stop it. We'll come to this world's Armageddon, the final war of the final nuclear, World War III. At that time, Jesus Christ will come and the whole world will burst out in singing.
King of kings and Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords, peace and peace shall reign forever and ever, forever and ever, forever and ever.
To work more music into this show. That, of course, is from 1982, The World Tomorrow, Herbert Armstrong, of course, the late Herbert Armstrong, who died in 1986, and who 40 years ago tomorrow, we've got a special tribute lined up for tomorrow's show. But September 9th, 1985, is when Herbert Armstrong handed out Mystery of the Ages to the sophomore class there at Ambassador College. But there you see just how strong his program was and how far ahead of his time he was to point everyone in the direction of God's sure word of prophecy. Here's what your Bible says about the weapons that man produces. And on today's show, we'll take another hard look at the world today. It's not a pretty picture. There's violence everywhere, and man's heart is on evil continually, as we've been noting from Genesis 6. So we'll get to that and a lot more on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. If you want to email the program, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. As I say, we've got the tribute, the 15-minute video tribute lined up for tomorrow's show. You don't want to miss that. Tell your friends and family. Tell if you know some members or former members of the Worldwide Church of God, let them know. Let them know. Tomorrow's an important anniversary. In fact, I had another cold open on the violence that we see on Earth today lined up. But when you go back and you look at some of those old clips of Mr. Armstrong, it's hard not to lead the show with them. He was ahead of his time. Tomorrow's news today. I mean, the critic, the skeptic could say, well, but that was so long ago and it never did happen. Well, we're getting close. We are drawing near. As we saw last week, the kings of the East are arming themselves for war and they're issuing threats to the United States. And there's no end in sight to the hostilities in Ukraine, the Middle East, Gaza, and now the West Bank today. Even the violence spilling into Jerusalem. You'll see that in the montage we've put together here in just a second. But it's everywhere. In some cases, random acts of violence, like the poor woman on that subway in North Carolina or South Carolina, I forget the state. a guy behind her just stabbing her to death for no reason. They had no interaction. She didn't even bump into him or anything. There is a real spirit world. Joel Hilliker mentioned this in the trumpet brief. That's one part of all these acts of violence that you never see covered in the news. I mean, how do you explain just getting up from your seat and stabbing a woman in the seat in front of you? There's some demonic activity going on there and in a lot of other places in the world today as well. I mean, we need God's protection now more than ever. And I mean, Jesus told us 2,000 years ago to pray for that. To pray for protection from the evil one. Satan wants to destroy us. He's really aiming at God's people. And one thing that, just going back over the history there with Mystery of the Ages for fundamentals of theology class and coming into the anniversary tomorrow, one thing that you definitely can appreciate more deeply is just how fast Satan was able to destroy a church of more than 100,000 members. He did it in just a few short years. And now you look at what he's doing to our nations. Things happening today that you just couldn't imagine happening 10, 15, 20 years ago. I mean, the earth has always been violent, but like Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, and that's what we're seeing. It's just getting worse every day. And I know there's a lot of people in America right now who are incredibly optimistic. I heard one commentator this morning. That's why we've got to put our faith or our trust in Donald Trump. Well, but is a man going to be able to deliver us from all of this evil? From all of this violence? Look at the problem in education. We've got some clips lined up on that subject as well. A report coming out of the Telegraph in the UK about just the declining standards in education here in the United States. And we used to lead the world. We used to be the envy of the world. Students would come from all over the world to attend our schools, our universities. Well, they may still be doing that because the universities want the money. But what does it say about our nation when our American children are either not showing up to school, or when they do, they're bringing their gadgets, or they're being deceived by artificial intelligence now? Let's start with this. Here again, you see from this montage, another chaotic and violent week or weekend for, I mean, there's other items in the montage as well, other regions, I should say. But so much of this is coming out of Israelite nations. Civil war activity, alien invasion, just horrific, violent crimes. You'll see that in this, what was going to be the cold open, clip one.
To a Fox News alert, at least five people are dead and at least 11 are injured after a suspected terror attack in Jerusalem. Police say two terrorists opened fire on a bus stop at a busy intersection in North Jerusalem. The attackers are reportedly Palestinian from the West Bank. And although no group has claimed responsibility, Hamas has praised this attack.
Now to one of the most shocking stories of the year. This horrific murder was caught on camera. The brutality, the depravity of it is beyond anything I can adequately describe. We will not show the full footage, not even blurred, but just watching the lead up to this senseless crime is chilling. Here you'll see a young woman, a Ukrainian woman, her name's Irina, and she boards a train in North Carolina. She's on her phone, has AirPods in, is minding her own business, and there is no interaction with her murderer, who slowly pulls out a knife and then launches a vicious attack, leaving her bleeding to death as he walks away. Josh, the lack of media coverage of this incident, the fact that this murderer was released over and over again after violent incidents, the whole thing is just so sickening.
You know, I hate to say it, but you know, I mean, the video speaks for itself. You know, this is a black person who is murdering a blonde woman here, and that is not the kind of story here in American media that the media is typically going to cover very quickly. I'm sorry to just be so blunt and to say it like it is, but that is just the tragic reality.
I'm not happy about the whole situation. You know, it's interesting. It doesn't affect us because it's not our soldiers, but they're losing now. I used to tell you 5,000, they're losing 7,000. Between Ukraine and Russia, 7,000 soldiers every single week. It's such a horrible waste of humanity.
England is heading to a civil war as we speak. And Nigel Farage, you know, the rise of the populist party of their reform is not going to stop it. It's heading there. Why? They have a problem with radical Islam that they have not dealt with. And it's metastasizing and getting worse. Same in France.
But first, Victoria Police have said they're yet to, and I quote, crack the nut on growing violence in Melbourne. The comment came after two children were murdered as they walked home near Melton at the weekend. The boys, one aged 15, the other just 12, hacked to death by thugs wielding machetes. CCTV footage recorded one of the boys being chased through the streets before being struck and then stabbed to death as he lay defenceless on the ground. His screams were heard by a neighbour who ran to his aid but was powerless to save his life. And the police, well, they're still working on that nut. Absolutely shocking, but hardly surprising. It's just another weekend in Melbourne, a city now better known for crime than its coffee or its gardens or its football. Remember Melbourne? Named most livable city in the world, 7 years running from 2011 to 2017.
So while all the protests are going on, we still haven't seen major ICE operations. What we did see yesterday, two homicides and five people were shot in the city of Chicago since noon yesterday.
These are dangerous days. We have already lost more people dead in the Ukraine war than we lost in the run-up to World War II. Look, the Europeans realize now is the time to get this stopped. France has warned their hospitals to be prepared for wartime-level casualties. We now need to move to phase two, as President Trump has said. He needs to work hard, and frankly, we need to cut off the sale of Russian energy around the world, both to India and to China. China imports a huge amount of Russian oil. They are funding the Russian war machine. We need to stop this now before we get into World War III.
Yet another weekend of just senseless acts of violence, whether it's crime on the streets of Israel, Israelite cities, or wars and rumors of wars. You know, with respect to the attack this morning in Jerusalem, northern Jerusalem, at a bus stop there, that I think it was six that were murdered. That's since been revised from five, as you heard there in that montage. But I just want to direct you to something we wrote last week. We've probably given more coverage to October 7 than just about any other outlet since that attack coming from Gaza. Almost 2 years ago, and we've had people on the show, we've had interviews, we've talked about it, we've been over there. We were over there this summer. We visited the area around the Nova Festival there and some of those kibbutzes. But just last week at thetrumpet.com, will Israel annex the West Bank? Listen to this. Israel may be close to vanquishing Hamas in Gaza, but the West Bank remains a much larger powder keg, much closer to Israel's major cities. It says if the West Bank Arabs ever became motivated to rise up and attack Israel, it would be a bigger catastrophe for Israel than anything from Gaza. It says the Bible predicts the Israeli-Palestinian conflict to become even more violent. Instead of Gaza, the nexus will be the West Bank. I mean, this attacker came from the West Bank. He murdered six Jews just this morning. This was at the Trumpet last week. Let me just read the last line again. Instead of Gaza, the nexus will be the West Bank, specifically the area bordering Jerusalem. I mean, that's tomorrow's news today. You go back to the cold open with Mr. Armstrong there, talking about entire cities being blown to bits because of the nuclear weapons that man is producing. And the weapons we produce, we use. That's been the history. So what does your Bible have to say about it? Well, a lot of people are surprised to learn that the Bible has a lot to say about entire cities being obliterated. You can't just shove aside these Old Testament prophecies and say, well, it all happened historically, because there's so many events in there. And I mean, there is some duality. Sometimes there's an Old Testament fulfillment, but then an end time fulfillment as well. But there's quite a few that never were even fulfilled in the Old Testament times in any capacity. It's for our time today, and like my father has said on the Key of David, and we keep repeating it here, the prophecies of God are sure. We're fast moving in the direction of Jesus Christ intervening on the affairs of mankind, as he said that he would in Matthew 24. So you can wipe out Hamas, but what Israel will soon find out is that you can't wipe out the ideology, the radical ideology coming from Hamas and from so many other terrorist groups all across the region. This was noted on Fox News, the ideology one. Just skip ahead to clip 4.
Well, I think the challenge that Israel faces is that Hamas does not want peace. They're a terrorist group. And I think Hamas feels like they benefit from the war, the ongoing war. Hamas is going to lose every battle. Israel has decimated Hamas leadership really made it very difficult for Hamas to launch attacks from Gaza. But the worse the humanitarian crisis grows, Hamas feels like they gain in some popularity. They can win the propaganda war. Australia and France and Germany are planning to recognize a Palestinian state during the upcoming UN General Assembly. Hamas sees that to their advantage. Hamas is fighting an insurgency. And yeah, they're holding 50 hostages, reportedly 20 of whom are still alive. The war is currency for Hamas. It's the oxygen that keeps them going. And so I just can't be very optimistic that we're going to get to a deal. Israel wants to ensure that Gaza can no longer present a threat. They want to finish the job against Hamas, and they want the hostages to come home. It's going to be difficult to see all of that working out in the near term.
Yeah, man, aren't you right about that? I mean, you can kill a terror group, you can kill a terrorist, but you can't kill an ideology. And in some ways, Hamas is winning on that front abroad.
Hamas didn't come out and take credit for this morning's attack, but they praised it as a heroic operation. Yeah, they cheered it just like they cheered October 7. I'm sure there's some very well-educated students on Western campuses that are also cheering this morning's attack. Six Jews murdered. You know all about the hatred for Jews in the world today. I mean, it's intensifying. It's spreading. And we're in 2025. You go back to what Herbert Armstrong said in that cold open. It's coming. He was right. And we've got to prepare ourselves for what's coming. Emotionally, physically even, but certainly spiritually. The Hamas praised the attack as a heroic operation and called on West Bank Palestinians to escalate the confrontation with the occupation and its settlers. And here again, there's a lot of people in the international community that are calling for this as well. Maybe not as bluntly as Hamas is. But yeah, they see the West Bank as occupied territory. Israel's got to get out. All the settlers got to get out. Mr. Hilliker writes in the morning brief, the murders underscore the dangers Israel's trying to eliminate in its war with Hamas. for which it is being criticized and condemned by nations worldwide. It gives urgency to recent discussion about President or Prime Minister Netanyahu wanting to expand Israeli control over the West Bank. So you've got Israel wanting to expand its control because of the violence that's everywhere. Just random, senseless acts of violence to kill Jews. That's the goal of the operation, always. Just kill Jews. They could be women, children, just waiting for a bus, wherever, whenever possible even. Meanwhile, it's Hamas that the Trump administration's trying to restart negotiations with. So there you go. And we're going to put our faith in a political movement or organization or government here in the United States? Listen to this about doing a deal with Hamas. This is clip three.
So we also have some movement on the ceasefire. Steve Witkoff apparently sent a new proposal to Hamas that would reportedly include the release of all hostages in exchange for 2,500 Palestinian prisoners and the IDF withdrawal from Gaza.
This is what Witkoff is proposing? The return of 20 Jewish hostages. They've been in captivity for almost 2 years. In exchange for 2,500 Palestinian criminals and Israel withdrawing from Gaza? Seriously? This is what the United States is calling for. How does this help Israel? How does this bring a lasting peace to the Middle East? How does this not blow up in our face? I mean, I'm assuming that something like this will eventually happen, but you know, Hamas, the hostages that they're hanging on to, that's the key, as Melanie Phillips has said, that's the key to their survival. You don't even think they'd give up all 20 and then the 30 corpses that they have as well. But for 2,500 Palestinian criminals, another lopsided terrorist swap for innocent civilians. Innocent civilians trapped in the tunnels of Gaza, like the one you saw a few weeks back, digging his own grave. Hamas just paraded two of the hostages through the streets of Gaza just last week. I mean, they're taunting Israel. They continue to carry out terrorist attacks like this morning. And the world, for some reason, stands against Israel. And the United States negotiators pressure Israel to agree to terms like what you just heard there. Several biblical prophecies warn that violence in and around Jerusalem is going to escalate in the time ahead. That's in this morning's brief. This suggests that Israel's efforts to protect itself will come up short, and that international hostility will remain and hamper the Jewish state's defenses. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Zechariah 14, verses 1 and 2, it's real. It's real. And we have to brace ourselves for it. We have to prepare for it. That's in the Middle East. And then you have this horrific attack on the train in North Carolina. And of course, all of our press outlets here in the United States, they don't care about it. You reverse the races, of course, then it would be worth covering. But how sick and demented are the journalists in America? Just look at what they cover. I mean, 2 seconds ago, we were told that because there was one incident between a black man and a police officer, that this was happening everywhere and all the time. And because of it, I mean, every officer has to have the body cam footage on, and we've got to have more cameras on public transport and so on. Didn't that ever backfire? That was brought on by the dear leader. I'm talking about backfiring against the dear leader. And the regime's demented coverage, just going back a few years. Oh, yes, every police officer is racist, so they've got to be strapped with a camera. And well, now what we're seeing are these crazy, deranged, not police officers. We're seeing the people that police officers encounter on a daily basis. And now we see some demon-possessed killer. Murder! Been in and out of jail, of course. That's the way it goes. And he just stands up, grabs his knife, and he kills this woman, who, as I understand it, she's fleeing from violence in Ukraine. And she gets to North Carolina and is murdered in North Carolina. Where do you go? I mean, there's Bible prophecies that say you're not going to be able to hide in a corner. When the violence explodes, it's going to touch everyone. It's going to fill the earth. And what we're getting now is just a tiny, tiny, tiny foretaste of it. But it's spreading. It's spreading. In the morning brief on Friday, footage went public of an August 22 murder on a light rail train. An unsuspecting 23-year-old, well, you know the specifics by now. The attack indicts a broken justice system with a clearly dangerous repeat criminal out on the streets. Just let him out. Let him out. And then if you criticize the media for covering up this story, well, then you're made a target for that. The take that Axios has, I mean, it really is, as I say, just stunning and sick. Axios says here, stabbing video fuels MAGA's crime message. What? Can we not just get a basic story on the woman who's stabbed to death? The woman who's fleeing violence in Ukraine? Everything's political for these left-wing news outlets. It's unbelievable, really. MAGA influencers are drawing repeated attention to violent attacks to elevate the issue of urban crime and accuse mainstream media of undercovering shocking cases. So give some of the specs here for this violent act on Friday. And then look at Axios's big picture and ask yourself, Does this bring comfort and peace to North Carolina or the United States or even to your heart? Is this going to solve the problems that we're staring at? Axios says the rising number of surveillance cameras in public spaces, including on Charlotte's light rail, has become a big accelerant in these cases. So the problem is the cameras. This is quite the backfire for the dear leader. He wanted the cameras. And, well, he got them. And now we're getting a close-up look at just how violent our society is. Whether it's black on white, white on black, or black on black, it's all over the place. And more of it, you're seeing the spiritual dimension. It's not talked about, except on this program. But you can't explain someone just standing up and grabbing his knife and stabbing a woman in the neck from behind unless you understand that there is a real spirit world and that Satan the devil is real. And you see his influence even in the coverage or lack thereof. So the cameras, that's the problem here. The video is easily shared or this is Axios. The video is easily shared or leaked and can instantly pollinate across social media a visual counterpoint to statistics showing crime decreases. There you go. Don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe the footage. Don't believe the MAGA influencers. Crime is down. Well, tell that to the people of Melbourne who are shocked that this little boy, this young teenager, being run down by this gang of machete-wielding killers. And you heard in one of the clips we just played, Melbourne, what was it? It was like the place to move, the most livable place in the country of Australia. From 2011 to 2017. Well, what has happened to Melbourne in just 7-8 years? It's a good question. Here's Axios. When they do cover it, they go after the real villain in their minds That would be MAGA influencers. And then, of course, the cameras. How do you explain this? The video is easily shared or leaked and can instantly pollinate across social media. A visual counterpoint to statistics showing crime decreases. Okay. Well, you keep having, you know, Fox reports or some conservative outlets that are just going to people on the street saying, D.C., for example, Chicago. People that say it's violent here. We would welcome the National Guard. We need more law enforcement. President Trump asked about the, well, we can carry on. Poor Axios. Even when a woman is stabbed in the neck and bleeds to death, in the presence of a lot of people on the train, by the way. I mean, maybe one of them took no. That's another thing. The guy just walks off the train and everybody's sitting there, you know, focused on their phones. What a world. This is not God's world. Mr. Armstrong made this point in that same message that I gave to you at the top of the show. Listen here to another clip from that same World Tomorrow program, clip 14.
Evils are mounting rapidly on the earth right now. But what a paradox we have in this world. Here we are in a world of awesome progress, awesome accomplishment, but it's all material. It's all mechanical, electrical, and it's awesome. But it is also in the midst of appalling evils. Human suffering, discontent, unhappiness, there is no peace. How can you account for such great progress, such great accomplishment, and such retrogression at the same time? Spiritually, we're going backward, backward. Mechanically, physically, the world has been going forward. This world is not God's world.
Same message continues today through God's church. And of course, it's all based on the sure word of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Ephesians 2:2, Revelation 12:9. These are scriptures you don't hear much about in the world of traditional Christianity, because they don't square with what most religious people believe, that the world's a pretty good place, especially when your political party wins. Then all the problems are solved. Are they solved? I mean, Steve Bannon there in that montage talked about how Nigel Farage's political party is not going to prevent civil war in the UK. But then I'm thinking, well, are you at the same time believing that Donald Trump's MAGA movement is going to prevent civil war in the United States? Look at how divided we are. This is a news report, or I think it's from Don Lemon's podcast, where a Baltimore resident, Baltimore's just up the road from D.C. It's a violent city. And here's one resident's take on that violence, clip 11.
The president said he wants to send troops here to Maryland. What do you think, Baltimore into Maryland?
I'm not opposed of it.
Right.
I think it would be a good idea.
Why so?
Maybe we can clean up some of this crime-ridden neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You know?
Is the crime bad?
Very bad. Atrocious.
Maybe it'll clean up some of these crime-ridden neighborhoods, says a resident there in Baltimore. Do you think he's going to believe the talking heads when they get on and say, you know, crime statistics are down. Yeah, they're decreasing. We didn't hear that when the dear leader was in charge. No, in fact, we heard that specifically cop on black crime. That was everywhere. That was everywhere. That's why we need body cams, because we got to keep our eyes on law enforcement, you see. I mean, in the minds of a lot of these people that are commentators, they still see the problem as law enforcement. You know, cracking down. And then a criminal who's in and out of prison, who's in and out of jail, he murders a woman in cold blood for no reason whatsoever. And you actually have people rushing to the defense of the criminal. That's really what they're doing by covering it up. It's their knee-jerk reaction. Listen to this commentator from MSNBC, clip 10.
People have looked and studied and figured out what creates crime, what stops crime, how crime happens. And the evidence shows one thing that I think most people, even in our own community, do not fully appreciate. The police are not there to prevent crime. Police do not prevent crime. At best, they catch criminals after the fact. And that's great. That's necessary. Yay, right? But if what you're actually saying is that you're worried about crime prevention, putting more police on the streets does nothing to help crime prevention, to achieve crime prevention. And putting military troops on the streets, putting Marines on the streets, does less than nothing to prevent crime. The Marines are not trained to prevent crime, right? You want another movie analogy? You want to prevent crime, you need to get Clarice Starling up in here, right? You need to get some FBI profilers up in here to prevent crime. That's what they do. The police and the troops don't do that.
So if you follow this man's logic, if you can even call it that, just take the police out then. Just remove law enforcement. And of course, not that long ago, people like this were calling for the police agencies to be defunded. Just get rid of the police. And don't bring in National Guard men. Don't bring in the Marines. None of that. Because that doesn't stop crime. What would this world be like if there was no law enforcement? If there were no secure borders? If Israel didn't go after terrorists, if everyone just said, hey, just let things play out. That's what led to October 7th. This is not God's world. It certainly is not God's world. Listen to this from Fox News on again, a Democrat take on the violence in Chicago. This is clip 2.
Look who's protesting. It's the same old Democrat, far left protesting groups that are opposing security, safety, and the hope for prosperity in the city of Chicago. When the people in Chicago are having to close down their buildings, and they're also, you're seeing continued murders and shootings going on because they don't have a strong police presence. But remember, Governor Pritzker didn't have any problem bringing the National Guard in when they had to protect the Democrats at their national convention.
So here again, it's all political. And you can see both sides, I mean, digging in their heels. Democrats use the National Guard, no problem. As long as it's protecting their side, you see? But now they're out there screaming. Hey, there's no problem with crime here. The problem is Trump. The problem is the National Guard. Again, what I want you to consider is just step back and look at how this, look at man's inability to solve these problems. I mean, we can't even agree on a subject like a man getting up in a subway, stabbing a woman to death. I thought this comment, again, when you just can, why even bring it up? This kind of comment from Tucker Carlson. I mean, he's a changed man, not for the better either. Clip 5.
Let me just say, I would be totally comfortable sharing condolences with Osama bin Laden's family. I hate Osama bin Laden. On the other hand, if somebody dies, it's okay to say I'm sorry to his family. That
he had a toddler.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's immaterial. I would say that to the family of an executed murderer in a prison. It doesn't mean I support the murder or the murderer, but this is family. Like, yep. That's okay. That's called like human decency.
And you know, you look at extended families, and I'm sure there's a few good people in the bin Laden family, but why even bring this up? What is the point? He had a toddler, Osama bin Laden. How cruel. I mean, you see what's implied here. How cruel of you to go in and retaliate after 9/11. I mean, it's unbelievable, this kind of reasoning. I mean, you could say this about Hitler, you could say, and they do. And you could say it about the October 7 attackers, the murderers, the terrorists. Well, they've got families. Well, some of them had children. Some of them had a toddler. What a subject to bring up about someone who went in and murdered toddlers. The Bible says that bloody crimes fill our nations. And people, you can see, they're not, even with the violence all around us, they're not prepared for what's ahead. Ezekiel 7 and verse 11, violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor of their multitude, nor of theirs, nor of any of theirs, I should say. Neither shall there be wailing for them. It says, make a chain, verse 23, for the land is full of bloody crimes. And the city is full of violence. I've taken you through recently what it says there in Genesis 6 about the earth being filled with violence before the flood. And how Jesus said in the Gospels, Luke 17, that the last days would be just like the days before the flood. This is what we're looking at. This is what we're seeing. Ezekiel 8 and verse 17, for they have filled the land with violence. Is our land filled with violence? Is you know, North Carolina, Chicago, Baltimore, the UK, or Melbourne, is it filled with violent acts? I mean, are our cities making the top 10 list for the most livable places in the world these days? Or the safest places? Just talk to the local residents, as you saw there in that clip with the resident from Baltimore. Yeah, maybe we could use a stronger police presence to get rid of some of these crime-infested areas, or to at least crack down on the criminals. But then you've got the sophisticated commentators saying, you know what, police don't, they don't actually stop crime. They just run after the criminal, after the crime has been committed. So let the criminals do what they're gonna do. And we'll try to address it after the fact. Isaiah 59 and verse 7, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. That's what you saw on that train in North Carolina. Someone who in his mind was just running to evil and shedding innocent blood. And she's left to die there in her own pool of blood. How sad. That's horrific. This woman, her family. What about condolences for her family, since we're on the subject? She thought it was violent in Ukraine. And what did President Trump say about Ukraine? It's, what, every week there's something like 7,000 Ukrainians and Russians being slaughtered in that war that's gone on for 3+ years. No end in sight. A lot of people running to evil and shedding innocent blood. Someone, two gunmen actually this morning, shed innocent blood, 6 Jews. And then a Jewish soldier and another just ordinary civilian shot dead the terrorists. And it goes on, the cycle of violence, just like it did before the flood. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Genesis 6, verse 11, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. When the earth is filled with violence, you know you're drawing near to the end of this age. And that's where our hope resides. That hope, just like Bible prophecy, is sure. It is certain because of what we know, because of what God fills our hearts and minds with, His Spirit, His way of life, His love, His peace. In the Epistles of Peter booklet, my father says God is going to take mankind to the point where people will know there is no hope in man, and they are willing to heed God's word, the Bible. He's bringing us to the point where we'll finally acknowledge there's no hope in man. We're not going to be able to pull ourselves out of this. Look at how much more violent and evil we are than we were just a generation ago. I mean, you can't imagine even someone on TV 30, 40 years ago getting up and saying, you know what, law enforcement really doesn't stop crime, and we don't need them. We don't need the National Guard. We don't need a crackdown. We don't need anything. What we need is a good investigator. If we got some investigators in there, maybe we could prevent a crime or two. But for the most part, you know, the police just show up after the fact. So we don't really need them, except, I guess, to clean up the mess. How much longer can we survive not just these violent acts, but that kind of deranged reasoning? That, too, as I said earlier, is of the devil. The experiment of human government will prove itself a grandiose failure, and people will begin to recognize that they do need God's help. And then, as my father says, what a world that will be. What a world it will be when everyone will acknowledge that, you know what, we need God's help. We need God's guidance. We need God's direction. We need God's protection. We need a godly education. We need to learn about the way to peace. We need to put our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a world. As he says there, what a world that will be. We're going to end a few minutes early, as per usual, these last 2 weeks, to allow for another segment of the United States and Britain in Prophecy documentary series. We've only got a few segments left before we somehow make it available in its entirety. So enjoy today's segment here at the end of the show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
The story of Britain's and America's rise to greatness points right back to God and the promises he made to the great patriarch Abraham. But now, 2 centuries after those tremendous birthright blessings were given to these descendants of Abraham, something has gone very wrong. Britain's empire is now a commonwealth. Its navy is small. Its economy is in trouble. Its debts are crushing. Its people are adrift. And it is facing a crisis in terrorism, in its place in Europe, and in its own existence as a united kingdom. America has amassed a debt even more enormous than its enormous economy. Its people are divided. Its massive military is no longer winning wars. Americans are openly acknowledging that America is no longer great, openly admitting that it might collapse. Many Americans want their country to become great again. Many Britons want their company of nations to become great again. But to become great, you have to understand where greatness comes from and where weakness comes from. Bible history and world history show exactly where America and Britain's greatness came from. It came as an undeserved gift. It came from God. In fact, it came as an undeserved blessing promised to a man who lived 4,000 years ago. Why did God bless this man? Why did God promise national greatness to his descendants? Because he obeyed. Yes, national greatness is connected to spiritual obedience. Safety, wealth, power, national security. These are blessings granted by God. For many generations, Abraham's ancient descendants did not receive these blessings. Why? Because they disobeyed. They disobeyed God's laws on observances, on morals, on every aspect of life. They disobeyed God's laws on keeping the Sabbath day. As a result, they forgot their own identity, and God withheld those blessings. But God did keep his promise to bless Abraham's descendants. Thousands of years later, they still existed. They did not even know who they were, and they had not earned these blessings, but God kept his promise and freely gave those blessings of national greatness all at once. Those blessings of national greatness have now been given. Those promises have now been kept. And now God is no longer obligated to bless the descendants of Abraham. He already did that. Now the blessings, the greatness, or lack thereof, depend on our obedience. We have sensed that something has gone wrong. We know that America is no longer great, that Britain is no longer great. Whether we realize it or not, what we are experiencing is the removal of the same blessings God gave us in the first place. 3,400 years ago, God made this very clear with our ancestors, the nation of Israel. He told them, as a nation, that if they obeyed, they would receive blessings. And he told them that if they disobeyed, they would receive curses. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary to me and will not hearken to me, I will bring seven times more plagues on you according to your sins. Look around you. Does it seem like Britain and America are losing their greatness? Does it seem like the pride of our power is broken? Does it seem like our great strength is spent in vain? Does it seem like our nations are being plagued? Does it seem like we are being cursed? We must come to recognize what is happening for what it really is. What we see in the news in Britain and America are curses. And the Bible makes plain the reason why. We are being cursed because of what we are doing. That is the cause of the crisis. America and Britain are in a life and death crisis. Not because they haven't maneuvered their militaries well enough. Not because they haven't signed good trade deals. Not because of poor diplomacy. Not because of a failure to conduct enough scientific research, or to pass enough laws, or to spend enough money. America and Britain are facing a disaster because we are choosing to live a way of life that causes disaster. We are sinning. We are breaking the commandments of God who gave us our blessings, and we are experiencing the results of that. And on top of that, we are being cursed. If we become a selfish, evil, violent, perverted people, God actually does us and the whole world an injustice if he continues to bless us. For our own ultimate good, we all have to see that committing evil brings punishment. The Bible does show the cause of the crisis in Britain and America. The cause of the crisis is us.